Good evening, Aboisai. And please, I'm not the only one staying behind. So there are still a number of us here. Are you all okay tonight? Okay, we are very honored to have a colleague, Maggie Cheer, who is coming for holidays over here. It's very good for two reasons, really. First of all, it makes us feel good that we live in a holiday place. That's, of course, there. And we're very honored that he's coming tonight. Rabbi Katanka, when we were roommates, I just talked about it before, when we were roommates in Gateshead, Nunches was 98, we're then already friends for quite a while. So it makes me feel a bit old, yeah, but we really have been. I'm sure it's not coincidence that we both became Maggid Ishir of Dirshu. He's holding the post in Gateshead, which is in the north, and we are here, and we're very honored that he agreed to say some words today. Rabbi Katanka, thank you very much for agreeing to say some words. Do you mind if we click you on?
Rabbi Isai, first of all, I'm not keeping the item long. Dishu doesn't have time for time wasters. They have to get on with it. We mustn't waste time. We got to keep moving, at least in Gateshead anyway. Hope Edgeware is the same. Moirav Rabbi Isai, it's a big covered. Just to say a few words for Rabbi Bechloid, our Choshva Magid Shea, Rabbi Manuel Patkas. Rabbi Manuel.
Sorry, can you imagine?
Yeah, no problem. Rabbi Patkas spends a long time every day preparing. I can only say from personal experience, it takes a long time. Every Shea has to be prepared, especially somebody who's busy in school and at home. Plenty going on. And it all has to be exciting and captivating and put into a little pill and made geschmack for each person to be able to take as much as he can. And we really appreciate it so, so much. And the shiur should go Michael O'Choyle, both here and in Gateshead. And it's nice every so often we have people coming backwards and forwards and we hear what's going on in London, what's going on in Gateshead. Ashreinu v'ashreichem v'rotzen shenizke leilich Michael O'Choyle. Brief word about the learning Hilchos Tefillin at the moment and the Tzuras HaOsios. Of course, we understand that the more a person understands that what's going on behind the Tefillin, he learns Halachos of Tefillin, the more Tefillin has an effect on the person himself. The famous Gemara, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Elisha Baal Kanafayim, that we learn that the Yid was had Tefillin and he was caught by a soldier came to him and he said, "What's inside?" And he said, "What are you wearing?" He said, "Kan fi yoyna," and indeed it turned into Kan fi yoyna. And Chazal say, "Yor v'rol kol ami ha'oretz," the whole world will see, all the people of the world will see, "Kishem Hashem nikra lecha," that the name of Hashem is on you, "V'yor umimeka," and they'll be scared. They'll be scared from you. And a person's wearing tefillin, the non-Jews and the nations of the world see, have a certain pachad, and a yid is affected by the fact he's wearing the tefillin, Benji. Now, one other point. I can understand and we know when we're wearing tefillin, it has an effect on us. When we're wearing tefillin, it has an effect. It has an effect on a person. He's wearing tefillin, the Kedushas tefillin. But we learned in Dirshu, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, a much bigger chiddush. In Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, there's a little Sha'at Siyan discussing the blowing of the shofar. What side do we blow the shofar? So the Mishnah Ramah brings down, one blows the shofar on the right-hand side of the mouth. Why do you blow the shofar on the right-hand side of the mouth? So the Mishnah Berurah says the reason is because the Pasuk says, "Va'oymed hasotan oymed liminoy lesitnoy." How's that Pasuk go? "Va'yamoyed hasotan liminoy lesitnoy." Where does the Sotan stand? On the right-hand side. So we take the shofar and we blow it on the right-hand side of the mouth to overpower the shofar as he is standing liminoy. That's what that was stated in the Magen Avraham. Mishnah Berurah brings it down. The Bihalocha says a different explanation. The Bihalocha says, why do you have the shofar on the right-hand side? Because it says with regards to Gidoin, it says that they held the shofaros biminom in the right side. So therefore we blow the shofar on the right-hand side of our mouth. In fact, that Bia Halacha is the only time the Mishnah Berurah ever brings a Heintiger, somebody who's still living at the time of the Mishnah Berurah, is that Bia Halacha. He brings a Meir Simcha Kohen of Dvinsk, And they say that because there was once an issue, a sichsuch between the Chofetz Chaim and Meir Simcha Kain of Divinsk with regards to chinuch, I'm not sure chinuch habonois, or with regards to chinuch to bringing the Mudei Chayil into the schools. I'm not sure exactly what the issue was. There was a certain sichsuch, a disagreement between the two, and lechvoid Meir Simcha, although he argued in this particular issue of chinuch, but lechvoid doi, to show honor to him and show his respect, he's the only person the Mishnah Berurah ever brings down by name, although he's actually living as a contemporary at the same time as the Mishnah Berurah. So Bi'alocha brings down over there a second reason why you blow the shofar on the right hand side on the mouth, because Gid'on was at the time of Gid'on they fought and they had the shofar on the right hand side of the mouth. It could actually be the only time Mishnah Berurah brings Gid'on as well, but I don't know. I'll call upon him. That's a second reason why we blow the shofar on the right hand side of our mouth. Says the Sha'atzion with an awesome, tremendous chiddush. He brings the Magen Avraham a third reason why the shofar is put on the right-hand side of the mouth. Says the Magen Avraham, since we wear tefillin, and tefillin is worn on the left-hand side, we already are protected on our left-hand side from the sotan. So therefore we put the shofar of the shofar on the right-hand side of our mouth. Ask the Sha'atzion, if so, somebody who is left-handed, perhaps he should blow the shofar on his left-hand side, because its filling is on the right. This is not meant to happen. This doesn't normally happen in Gaita. I'll find the Shulchan with the Mishnah Berurah. Sha'atzion says over there that the Binazmani mode, a special mode over there, Binazmani. The Mishnah Berurah Sha'atzion says, do you know why? Even though you're tefillin, your person's left-handed, you're tefillin on his right-hand side, he still blows a shofar on the right-hand side, because generally people are tefillin on the left. But upon him, the Sha'atzion says a tremendous chiddush. Says the Sha'atzion, although a person is not even wearing the tefillin, it's Rosh Hashanah morning. You don't wear tefillin Rosh Hashanah morning. Nevertheless, the skula of the tefillin is so strong, it affects a whole person's whole being. His entire life, even when he's not wearing tefillin, he has the skula of tefillin, it's a shmira on him. It's a shmira on him. So we have to understand that when wearing tefillin, the more we learn about tefillin and the tzura of the tefillin, the more the tefillin has an effect on us, not just while wearing a tefillin, not just v'ro kolam he'oretz, see the tefillin on our head. Even Rabbi said, when we're not wearing tefillin, it has a tremendous skula. We are people walking down the road with tefillin. But now Rabbi said, we're not just standard people wearing tefillin with the skula of tefillin that it has, although we're not actually wearing tefillin, but now we are super duper, we are top class, top quality tefillin wearers with top quality, special security we have, premium standard insurance we have, even when we're not wearing our tefillin, because of the fact we're oisik in the limud of the hilchos tefillin, and Rabbi said we should go Michael El Choyel, and Rabbi Dir Magid Shir, Shavuot of Nachas and Bracha, and we should all together be infused, not just here and in Gaita, throughout the world, have an encouraged chizuk in the limud of tefillin. It should be a zechus for us now, a zechus for us even when we're not wearing tefillin, and a zechus for us as we approach the new year into the Rosh Hashanah. A big shkoyach, and now we'll continue with Hashem, the halachas of Hilchus, Ksibes, Fa'esius, Vesiato, Ishmael, Ruba, Admoi. Vavolitzi and Goyel, Vechein, Hirotzoin, Veloima, Omein.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you for these very, very geschmackle words. Feels like gives us cheshuk to move to Gaita and hear the Dirshah Shein Gaita. That's all we can say. Fine. Very geschmack indeed. Okay, let us learn. We shall be learning tonight in Mitzvah Shem. We are still in Sim Lamed Beis. Let us aim to cover tonight in Mitzvah Shem. Siv Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, and Chav Dalet. Let us see if we'll manage to do that. Okay, Siv Chav Beis teaches us the following. Tov l'naso is akulmus, koidim shiaschil lichtuva pasha. This is real good advice. This is advice for a sofer. A sofer, prior to writing the parshas, he should use it a little bit before actually writing the parshas. Turbulent nafis akulmus, he should use the feather, he should use it and use it a little bit before he actually starts writing the parsha. Why is that? Shaloi ye olav dyoi yoisimidai, there shouldn't be too much dyoi ink coming out of it, viafsid, and it's gonna smear all over the place, and it's gonna spoil and ruin the parsha that he's writing. So first, use a little bit, write a little bit, prior to actually writing the the Pasha. V'chein yizoya, and simply should be careful, kodim sheikhtoiv kol sheim, before writing the name of the Ribbono Shloilom, before writing the name of Hashem, says Shulchan Aruch, should be careful, likrois kol mashikosav, you should read carefully what you've written, kidei in order shelo yavoi lidei gniza al yodoi, make sure you're writing it correctly, know exactly what you're holding, otherwise you may end up doing something which you'll end up putting it in shame. Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Kuf Zayin explains it a little bit more. In Kuf Zayin explains al yodoi, chetoivet al kumus lichto bois Hashem, when you are dipping the kulmus, the feather, lichto, but write as a shame the name of Hashem. Lo yaschil lichto voisumiyad. Don't write straight after putting it into the ink, and whilst the feathers absorb the ink, don't write straight away the name of Hashem. That it may happen that you've put too much ink, there's too much ink has been absorbed, and when you start writing the name of Hashem, too much ink is coming out, and you may be spoiling and ruining what you've written. And the consequently, if there's, by the name of Hashem, you all know you can't take off, you can't erase the name of Hashem. So what's going to be the consequence? Too much joy, too much ink coming out. You're trying to write the name of Hashem. You just dipped it in, you're trying to write the name of Hashem. Too much ink coming out. And you've started writing the name, you can't erase it, you can't take it off, because you can't be moichek, the name of Hashem. So what are you going to end up, what do you have to do? All you can do, yeah, that's right, you have to put it in Gneza. So he says, in order to avoid that, the better approach would be that you dip it into the ink, and you start writing something, and once you see that the ink is going to write amount, not too little, not too much, it's just right, then you're going to write the name of Hashem. But don't ask for trouble. Just write before you write the Shem Hashem, write something else. Or you lie, still another problem that may happen. Yeshul of Seah, there could be maybe of hair or something sticking there. For Leyoitzea, Ksav Miusha, and the letters may not be coming out neatly. So it's not worthwhile. Don't do straight after the dipping. Don't write the name of Hashem. V'gamishum shetzurich lekadesh hadyoy shel akulmus, terim sheyichtoiv Hashem, also with regards to the you need to specify the ink before you're actually going to write the name of Hashem. Lochain, therefore, you should write at the very least one letter, melichtoiv koidim Hashem. You need to write one letter prior to writing the name of Hashem. And after having written that letter, I think that's what it means, after having written that letter, then you can carry on writing. There's still ink remaining in the feather, and you can then after that, you can write the name of Hashem. Okay, continue the Shulchan Aruch in Tziv Chav Gimel. Im motza shechiser ois achas. If it turned out that you are missing one letter, im motza, it turned out, shechiser ois achas, you're missing one word. Ein lo itakona, if you missed ois achas, one letter, en lo takona, there's no takona. Shein kenu yuksuvin shaloi kesidon. This halacha now is a very important, very crucial halacha. The halacha of kesidon. When it comes to tefillin, the tefillin, the parashas needs to be written in the right order. We mentioned it numerous times over the past couple of weeks. There's a halacha that needs to be written absolutely in the right order. So, if you've written a word in the middle of the parasha, and you missed out a letter even, and you only realize that after having written that more words or even lines, you've got a problem, because this, if you fix it now, what's going to end up being? You fix the letter that was incorrect, that was missing, and by doing that, now that letter is correct, but it turned out that that letter really, halachically, was written after you had written the words after that. And that is a psul of Shaloi Kesidon, because it turned out that you wrote that letter, halachically correct, after you'd written the letter that written afterwards. And that's not in the right order. And that's the halacha and the psul of Shaloi Kesidon. So therefore he says, im motza shechiser ois achas, if it turned out you were missing one word, one letter, ein lo takona, there's no takona. You can't fix it. Shem kenu yuksuvin Shaloi Kesidon. This parasha is now written Shaloi Kesidon. It's written in the wrong order. The psulin and the apostle. Why are these parashas apostle? What is exactly the psul of Shaloi Kesidon? Mishum deksi, because it says in the pasuk, vehoyu. The pasuk says, vehoyu. Behaviyasan you. They should be in the proper way of being. I think that's the right way of translating. Vehoyu, they shall be. Behaviyasan you. They should be in the proper way of being, which is in the right order. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Tzivkot and Kuftes. Behaviyasan you. Perish keseda in the right order. Shenichtovois. They were written by Torah, in the Torah, you, they should be ksuvin, they should be written. So, kaseida shenichtovis by Torah, you, ksuvin. They need to be written exactly, precisely, in the same order it's written in the Torah. That is the psul of Shaloi Kesidon, which is an absolute iku with regards to the tefillin. What happened if you wrote an additional letter? So that can be very common by the words that we know sometimes with silent letters. It's very common. Silent letters. Yeah. Yeah, over there we're not really writing about the psul of Shaloi Kesidron. It's not mentioned there. Over there we're just addressing specifically the importance of writing everything accurately and correctly. Now the emphasis is on a slightly different point. The emphasis is on correcting. That's right, that it should remain Kesidron. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Ve'im yiter ois achas. If he added a word, so we're very letter. So a silent letter, for instance, he added that letter. No, so he says, Yesh loy takone, there is a takone. Alidei sheyigroy oisa, he can scratch off that letter, imi besoif teva oy beschiloso. If that letter that was added, what is at the very beginning or very end of a word, you can just scratch it off. Avol imo be'emtza teva loy. But if it was in a mid letter, you can't just scratch it off. Why? Mishum dik sheyigroir, because when you're scratching it off, nira, it appears k'shtei teva, it will appear like two letters. So the fact that you have a silent, pardon? Excuse me, it's two words. That if you're scratching off a letter in the middle of a word, so if it's at the end or at the very beginning, it doesn't matter, you can just scratch it off and you're fine, just carry on from there and you'll be fine. However, if it's in a mid-letter, and a mid-word, and you're scratching off that letter, now what you're going to end up having is a problem, because it will appear, because prior to the scratch, it looked like a full word. And now you're taking that letter off, whichever letter it may be, you're going to have, it's going to appear as if it's two different words. And that is a psul. But, yeah. I failed to mention, there's an interesting shayla that Bialochem speaks about, which is an interesting shayla, Rabbi. So what do you think about the following? We know that really what you could do, if a sofer made a mistake, and he's scratching it off, you need to scratch something off. Now, if you realize that you only realized after having written an additional five words, seven words, two lines, you just carried on writing, and suddenly you realize, as you're checking, you're saying, I wrote the toitofos I added two yuds in the middle, and I don't know what I was doing when I was thinking about my holidays. I don't know where I was. And then now what you're doing is you're scratching off. You could really scratch off. You can't just fix it because it would be a problem of Shaloi Kesidron. However, what you could do is you can scratch off everything you've written until that word, and then fix the word, and then afterwards continue from there. That works, right? No reason why not. You agree, right? But what happens? Interesting shaila, Rabbeisa. It's really an interesting one. It's an interesting one. Bialoch discusses the following shaila. What happens, Rabbeisa, if I fix the word prior to taking off the remaining words that I've written afterwards? Again, I wrote litoitofois with two zines and three ayins, yeah? And then I carried on writing, and after having written an additional five words, I realized, oh look, litoitofois is completely, I mamash messed it up. Now, what I want to do really is I want to write letutophos again and carry on writing from that in order to avoid the problem of Shaloi Kesidron. So, but what I'm doing now is I'm fixing the word letutophos and then I'm erasing the five words that I've written afterwards, and I'm writing after letutophos, I'm writing the continuation from there. Does that work? Yes or no? I mean, the straightforward approach would be, of course, to fix the word after having erased the Hamshach, the continuation. That would make more sense, right? I erase it all off, I fix the toy tofois, and I carry on writing from there. That's not what I'm doing. I'm doing something slightly different. I'm fixing the word, and then I'm erasing. And I'm carrying on from there. Does that work, Rabbi? Say yes or no. It's an interesting one. You hear the shaila? What are you tying it? Should be okay. Why is that? Why not? Because is there a psul of shaloi kazila? It's a very lomdish shaila. Is it psul? But the word was written in a state. Beautiful shaila. The word was written in a state of shaloi kesidon. When I wrote le toy tofos and I corrected it. But they're going now, but they haven't gone now. When I wrote the Tofos, it was written whilst it was Shaloi Kesidon.
It wasn't written consecutively.
Therefore,
I would say it was Posol.
Kosher. Pardon? B'dievel is okay. Why is that? What's your svar? It's not the right order, but B'dievel, Lemaisa, what's the point? It's lemaisa, it's in order, but it's interesting shaila. So the point is, you hear the shaila, it's very longish, that whilst it was written shaloi kesidon, that your tofos was written whilst there was words afterwards. So it was shaloi kesidon. But lemaisa, it turns out that it is kesidon.
It's a shaila the musud of shaloi kesidon. Can you be mesakin of shaloi
kesidon? Yeah, that's really what it boils down to. So there is a bialocha, the bialocha over here, and it sounds like the bial, the heilige Chofetz Chaim himself, sounds like was initially of one opinion, and later on he changed his mind. That's what it appears. If you look in the Bialocha, he brings in the Dibur HaMaschel Eilit HaKona, he first thought of it, and he says, he brings the Diuk, without going into the words now, because of lack of time, but he wants to say, if you look at the last words, you'll see that's what he's referring to. And you can see from the words what he's referring to, that whilst it was written, it wasn't kesedon, therefore it's a psol. That's what the Bialocha says. At this stage, the Heilige Rav Chaim Paskin, that it actually is a problem, and it's not a consecutive order, that's your words, that it's actually a psol. However, you see there's a little star and a bracket. And that's something which the Heilige Rav Chaim, seemingly, he must have written that later on. I don't know which edition it was added, I don't know when, but it was definitely at a later stage, and he writes, Shuvra Isi, which is a term used that, after having thought about this, now what I've considered, Shezeh Einu, this is not correct what I've written in Bialocha. V'raya Mekriya Shemale, come on, B'simen, Samech Dalet, Zif, Ale B'vir Alocha, Dibra Maschel, B'med, V'amurim, Ein Shom. He brings a proof from a shayla with regards to Kriya Shema, a similar shayla with regards to Shema, when we actually fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, when we read and say the Shema, we have also Halacha, the Mishnah in Brachas teaches us, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskens, that it needs to be Kesidron. You can't say, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the wrong order. You can't say, fulfill the mitzvah by starting with the last Pasuk, and after it's ending up with Ra'afta. You won't fulfill the mitzvah that way. It needs to be in the right order. There's a similar Shaila. What happens if I, similar type of shaila without going into details, and he brings a raya from there, it will work, it's a foolish Shulchan Aruch, that actually, if you fix up, what was your words, Reb Gideon, how did you put it? Can you misakin over there, the same shaila, with slight different variation, but it's really the same shaila, as where you can fix a shaila kesedon, comes up that actually is okay. Chofetz Chaim therefore paskins that here as well, it will be okay if you fix the word letoy tofos, which you wrote incorrectly. And only afterwards you're going to erase the rest, we'll be kosher and it's fine. A proof from Hilchas Kriyas Shema. So that's an interesting discussion. Yeah.
There's some letters that mean that from different letters. So Ches is made from a vav and a zayin.
That's a seif that we're going to be touching on, not tonight, I suppose. Seif Chofei, I think that's going to be Mamash addressing your shaila, I suppose, next week in Mietz Hashem. Continues the Shulchan Aruch and Seif Chof Dalet. Muta lichtoiv al mokoim ha gerer ועל מוקים המחק, אפילו אז קורא. Shulchan Aruch teaches us here that it is permitted to write on the place of the gerer and the mokim hamchak, the place that you erased a word. So if the sofer wrote something and then he's erasing it, he's not happy with it, and he's writing something on that, on the erased area, you can write, and you can even write afilu az koro, even the name of Hashem. Now, the difference between Ger and Mechak, what? What's the Havam in a knot? The Havam in a knot says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkoton Kuf Yudalef, but I don't know if that's the only correct answer. But the Mishneh Berurah says Shigo Evlo Mifzal Apash Mishum Chaktoiches. There is no sort of Chaktoiches Kevin She'enu Oise Meise Beguf Hatevus VeOise Ois. It's not Chaktoiches because you're not actually touching. Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry about that. You're right. Sorry, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Thank you very much. So what is the Havamin over here? It's surely nothing to do with Chaktoiches. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkoton Kuf Yud Gimel. I don't know if that's going to answer your question. No. Maybe let's just see Mishneh Berurah Sifkoton Kuf Yud Gimel. Hager mikri kshigu kshmishin isyabesh v'mchak mikri kshemoch kibo yudelach. The Mishneh Berurah addresses over here the difference between grar and mechak, which the difference is as to whether the ink has dried or it's still wet. So he said it doesn't really make a difference. Either way, you can write on that place that you had formed the letter as to whether it's dried and it's become solid or it's still wet. Either way, once you've erased it, you can actually write a new letter there. And the difference between grag and mechak is as to whether it's dry or wet. That's the continuation. You just see those words in Chonoch. It's not a good idea to take off the ink whilst it's still wet. Rather, wait until it dries. That's a good practical etza. Wait until it dries. It's going to be easier to take it off once it's dried. Nothing, no trace will remain once it's dried. But if you try to wipe it off when it's still wet, it seems that some of the ink will still remain there, and you're going to smear it all over the place, which is not such a brilliant idea. So you're better off waiting until it dries and only attempt to take it away once it's dried. That's an Eitzah Tov, a good Eitzah of the Shulchan Aruch. Now going back to your question, what's the Havam in a knot? I'm not sure. What do you think, Rabbi Katanka? What's the Havam in a knot?
Maybe the Mishnah says that it's in Endoim Kesev Al Yar Machut, or somebody has Kesev Al Yar Chachab.
So is there Havamina, it wouldn't be so beautiful. Doesn't look so nice.
How are you ever going to scratch out something and then continue? You never
again. Yeah. Maybe the Havamina wouldn't be that he would postle altogether, but it's lacking in Hiddur. The Kamash Malon is that it's not really lacking in Hiddur. I mean, the truth is, there is a bit of a... Actually, no. I'm thinking of a thought. We'll see that actually when it comes to the name of Hashem, there's no Eitzah. Well, there is an Eitzah, but there's no... You can't really raise the name of Hashem. So when it comes to... Once you hit the name of Hashem, you can't... That won't be true. So the Chiddush is that when it's not the name of Hashem, you actually can just erase. I want to say something to that, which occurred to me when I was looking at this. There is in the Sefer Kabbalah, it's written that actually the entire Torah is actually a combination of Shemos HaKadoshim. It's all actually the names of Hashem in very Kabbalistic and mystical ways. Bereishis Bara Elokim, if you look at it in Kabbalistic ways, it's all names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not very well versed in Kabbalah, but this is a concept which apparently is written extensively in Sfar Sifra Kabbalah. The whole Torah is really the names of Hashem. So really you could argue that you could never erase that any letters really. Because in Kabbalistic form it's written, it's all names of Hashem. But we are matir, erasing everything, just that when it's actually the name of Hashem that we know, that's what you're not allowed to erase. So maybe the chiddush in that area that you're allowed to erase unless it's the name of Hashem. Does that make sense? Maybe something on the... Right. Yeah, I hear. But it says Mutter Lichtov al Mokimag. Mutter Lichtov. Okay, it's a good Hora. Right, just to recap what we covered tonight, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoy, after having heard some beautiful words from Ramo Shabach Shlita, we learned that first of all a practical eitzah, one should dip the ink. Dip the feather in the ink in order to ensure that the ink is coming out in the right amount, not too much, not too little. We learned also you got the name of Hashem. Don't dip it in it and straight away write the name of Hashem. It's not a good idea because you're going to end up maybe running into trouble. So you're better off writing a letter first and then write the name of Hashem. We then started learning Siv Chof Gimel, which taught us that if a person finds out that there's a letter missing,
then you can't just fix it after having written additional words, because you can have a psul of shaloike sidron. We discussed the bialocha who questioned as to whether one can fix the word and then erase and rewrite the text afterwards, and the bialocha lemaiseh seems to pass in lehetera in his second stage. We learned that this concept of shaloike sidron comes from a pasuk v'hoyu b'avioson you. We learned Sif Chav Dalet, which tells us Muta Lichtov Al Mokrim Agra, you're allowed to write on an area which you erased the letter, whether it was dry or wet. Shulchan Aruch recommends don't erase the letter whilst it's still wet. You're better off waiting until it dries and take it off then. Unless when it comes to the name of Hashem, certainly you can't erase it because you're moichik the name of Hashem, which would be also. And we shall continue with Shem after Shabbos, and I wish you all a very good Shabbos.